You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do. Wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Wednesday Live at WCNO. We have the privilege and pleasure of having some wonderful folks in the studio. I'm not counting myself in that because I'm trying to be humble, but we have Karen Hubbard on our staff and also Rhett Palmer.
I'm trying to be humble, too.
I know. Well, we're going to be offering classes on that later. I want to tell you, we're going to be hearing in a minute from John Nelson with Families Recover, kind of the sit rep on the golf tournament, which just happened. And I hear it was a successful event. We're going to have him report on that. And then after John, we're going to hear from Tom Lapari, who's going to be taking a ministry trip to Costa Rica. And on top of that, they're going to be bringing 100 pairs of sandals for the kids that don't have any shoes. I mean, that's a powerful ministry. Bring people to Christ and give shoes to the kids. It doesn't get any better than that. And then I think Ma and Pa are going to show up. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to have some mail and prayers. And then...
At the bottom of the top.
I know. It's confusing, I know. But well, people listening in, you know, kind of know we can be convoluted.
What are you going to say there, Ma?
But at the bottom of the hour... We're going to be talking, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with JT and Terry Lee Clark, founders of My Brother's Crossing Ministry in Boones Mill, Virginia. I met these folks at the International Christian Film and Music Festival in May. During this interview, we're going to hear a powerful testimony of God's saving love, a true story of God's magnificent mercy in the miracle of forgiveness. And you're also going to hear of a book and the film that was born from those pages, telling the truth of how God works through those who love him, covering tragedy with the mantle of his love, revealing Jesus to the lost, and raising up believers to stand strong against the devil's plan to use anger and bitterness to destroy relationships. That's at the bottom of the hour. You have got to stay tuned. But first, John Nelson, welcome to WCNO.
Yes, sir. Good morning, guys.
It is good to hear from you.
This is the top of the bottom of the hour.
It's the top of the bottom of the hour, right? No, the top before the bottom of the hour, right?
I'm like the first batter up.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. Who's
that first? Well, first off, you know, on behalf of FamiliesRecover.org, we are a 10-year 501c3 nonprofit based here. Successful event. You know, we had 8 golfers, Keith Masters, brought for you guys and sent over from the station, and what a wonderful guy. Yeah. You know, we were able to raise a couple dollars, and we had a nice overcast day, so we didn't all get sunburnt, and, you know, God's just faithful. You know, I panic. You guys have let me on the radio pretty much weekly to spread the news, And I just want to say that I'm thankful today.
Praise God.
For you guys and ministry.
Well, you know, John, and God has really just shown us how powerful he works through Families Recover, the great need for the ministry that you have, which was born out of your own brokenness. I love to see God takes the broken parts and he reshapes them into a ministry that is powerful, and this is what Families Recover is all about. Out of your own experience of addiction and salvation and all the damage that was wrought in the process of walking to the foot of the cross, and God redeemed that. So give us a thumbnail sketch, Lord. I'm talking to you. Okay, I'm going to pray. Lord, help John give a thumbnail sketch of what Families Recover is doing today.
You know, Families Recover is branched out in a few different states. We got a lot of networking with rehabs. It's state-run facilities. You know, we've added some human trafficking stuff there. You guys know my story there. We don't have time for that, but maybe another day. But, you know, we're just, we're revving up to really, you know, the economy and everything that's going on. And, you know, we're losing 3,000 people a day in the United States to overdose.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even make the news. And, So, you know, what do you do? You know, there's not only me, there's a lot of other foundations. We piggyback with people because I don't believe that we can save the world by ourselves. So for a 501c3 nonprofit founder and CEO, we're open to team up with like-minded people, whether, you know, it's just, there's such a need out there. You know, we have people right in our hometown that they won't even be able to feed their kids today.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, where's your heart? And Amen. My heart is helping people in the addiction world, or the families that have suffered from it.
And you were able to raise some good money from the golf tournament to help, you know, sustain the ministry, move it forward.
Exactly, yeah.
And,
you know, God was pretty faithful there. We didn't get to, you know, it's a tournament we did out of season. We usually do the tournament in season.
Yeah.
We're probably going to go ahead and book another one for March. That way we have Snowbirds. Not saying it wasn't a success. You know, anything God brings.
That's right.
That's just the way it is.
I know, so, but well, we want to thank God for the success you had. Listen, John, I hate to move on from you, but we have a lot of people stacked up this morning. So,
hey, we love you guys.
But before
we
go,
together.
I want you to tell people how they can donate to Families Recover.
You can go on our website at securefamiliesrecover.org. You can, we have PayPal set up on there, and we got a couple other links. You can email me, john@familiesrecover.org, or you can call me direct at 772-285-5828.
Excellent. John, thank you, brother. We'll have you back on the air not too long from now.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank
you. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great guy. And what a powerful ministry for the Lord. Mm-hmm. People being saved, Rhett. I mean, people's lives being saved, not just physically from addiction, but spiritually, which is the most important place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I think we have Tom Lapari on the line. He hasn't been transferred into the studio yet, but here he comes.
Here he comes. We're waiting now with
Tom?
Anticipation.
Yes, sir. Tom's
All
here.
Right.
Okay, Tom. Tom Lapari. Welcome to WCNO Wednesday Live. We got a couple of minutes here. We just want to have you bring us up to speed on this mission trip that you're going to go to Costa Rica. Now, I know that God is sending you down there to preach the gospel and bring souls to Christ. But speaking of souls, if you'll pardon the pun, you also have, as part of this mission trip, you want to bring 100 pairs of open-toed type sandals for the kids.
Yes.
So tell us, we have a spot running, and I think some people have heard it, but just tell us what you need and when people need to deliver their gifts and where.
Yeah, I think the deadline, I think just to verify it, I don't know who can hear me on your end. I think Jonathan and I, we figured the 24th was the cutoff date.
Yeah, okay, this coming Friday, right?
Yes, yeah. The 24th, because we need to count them and pack them and get them all ready, and
So we're a collection point here at the radio station. And that's and that is our Address is 2960 Southwest Map Road in Palm City, Florida. That's 2960 mm-hmm. Southwest Map Road. There's also the church in Fort Pierce, right?
Yes. Yeah, I gave, I don't know if it was Karen or I gave somebody the address.
Yes, you did.
For Westside. It's off of Jenkins Road.
Yeah.
That's right. Near by Okeechobee, correct?
Yeah, Okeechobee to Jenkins, south on Jenkins, and Westside is on the right side. They can drop it off at the office. The office is there. Open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., the office.
That's okay. Right. That's, and I think you can also, if someone wants to make a cash donation or a credit card donation, also call the church there. We're going to play the spot here in a minute.
Well, maybe, and maybe we will, maybe we won't.
at some point in time.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not able to play it right now, but we will. It's in the system, and we will play it. And
I'm excited to hear it. I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, well, it involves yours truly saying some very helpful things about this mission trip. But it'll play throughout the day. We are kind of running out of time for this segment. But so let's make sure people understand how they can donate. These sandals, Tom.
Yes. Yeah, so pretty much we have the two drop-off points. Dave, and I didn't talk to Jonathan about it. So if somebody comes to you and comes to the office and says, you know, Sherry, Karen, you know, I want to donate $25, whether it's cash or a check or whatever, are you able to receive it?
No, that's what we're saying. We're going to refer them to the church. We'll give them the phone number of the church,
yeah,
and then
we'll give them.
They can make the donation. Yeah, we're not able to take any donations on behalf of anyone other than WCNO, so we'll be happy to give people the contact information for the church where they can do that.
But you know, Dave, I really want to stress this. I understand that people are busy and they'd like to give a donation. The whole idea of this was, I'm just going to use you as an example. You buy one or two pairs of shoes. I really need you to pray over the shoes so that when we go to Costa Rica, I'm not saying there's an anointing on the shoes. I don't mean that, but I really want the giver to be connected with buying the shoe, praying over it, and then bringing it to your office.
Amen.
That's kind of how I see it happening, but I know people are busy, and sometimes I can't do that.
Well, this is true, and yet we need to ask people to be prayerful and faithful. And sometimes I'm busy because I'm just a busy guy. But maybe my busy needs to be put on hold while I listen to the Lord and do what he says. So we're asking our people who are listening to pray about that and let the Holy Spirit lead you. These kids need shoes, but you know, it's not just for the soles of their feet, but as I said, getting back in on that pun, but also for their soul and for the soul and the heart of the people of God to whom this ministry is going. And Tom, I want to thank you for you and the other folk being willing to do this, to step out in faith.
Dave, like I said, we're stepping out in faith that the Lord, you know, wants to do this. He spoke to my heart about it. I know it's him. I know his voice.
Yeah.
We want to go down and be a super, super blessing to the people of Costa Rica and just bless these children.
I believe you're going to be.
Just to see them to do without, and we have so much here, it kind of breaks my heart.
Oh, yes. And some people complain about not having much, and yet the poorest among us are richer than some of the rich people down there.
Yeah, so, amen. 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 Know. Amen.
Well, in the name of Jesus, I come before God the Father. I say, Lord, bless this ministry. Pour out into Tom and all those who go with him. And those who will receive the preaching and the teaching and the gifting, Lord, just to bless them, to fall upon them, the mantle of your Spirit, Father, to bring them into the power of your Spirit, to release that Spirit among them, to bring whole souls to Christ, Father, and to bless those children that those children receiving today a gift which to us is very simple, but to them may be a turning point in their young life that they will remember that although people brought those shoes, it was from God.
Yes.
And it will touch their hearts as they grow up and give them faith. Father Tom, thank you so much for that. Sorry we don't have more time for you today, but we'll be praying for your trip. Let us know when you come back because we'll want a sit rep from you.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
No, when I come back, I want to come down to the office with you guys and share pictures you can put on the website and then just plant the seed for next year. We're going to go again, Lord willing.
Okay.
And to be in his service like you guys are in his service.
Amen.
We want to be a blessing to others.
And we want to help you do that. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a safe journey, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, my sisters. God bless
you. Amen.
Can
I have 30 seconds to say, Sherry and I went to pick up some sandals yesterday on behalf of WCNO.
That's true.
So we're looking around trying to find different sizes.
Uh-huh.
And a very nice young lady came up and was kind of like listening in on Sherry and I talking. And turns out her name was Carla, and she grew up in Nicaragua. And she, we told her what was happening, and she said her heart was so touched.
Oh, man.
And, so she really was blessed.
I like the
ripple. And she said, "You just made my day." And we were just telling her, we're just collecting these sandals. And
isn't that like...
She said they really need it.
The ripple effect of the Spirit.
That's
God
right.
calls you to do something.
Yeah.
You start doing it. You're faithful and talking about it. And other people hear.
Yeah.
And they just get
Amen.
Blessed.
And she had, she said she had just given to something, similar.
Yeah.
Up in Melbourne, I think.
Well, I want to talk more about that too, but Ma and Pa are here.
They are.
In the station, and they have a story for us.
As we all get older, it often happens we pick up more wisdom. Sometimes this wisdom has to do with how we manage relationships. Now, we know that human relationships can be difficult things to manage themselves sometimes. The more important the relationship is, the more complex the management. This has a lot to do with the fact every human being brings a lot of baggage to a relationship. Hopes, dreams, feelings, expectations, ideals. Well, you get the idea. A lot of stuff. God knows that relationships are very important. Ground zero for believers is our relationship with Him. And from this human and divine relationship, we receive the grace to build and maintain other relationships. Christians are sent by God into a world populated by folks who do not know Him, and by and large do not have an interest in doing so. Yet they live by the limitations of human wisdom and their feelings. Because of this, they get into trouble a lot. God's plan of salvation, when it involves His people building relationships with the unsaved, is often worked out through a special work of His grace that builds relationships which thrive on gaining understanding through earnest, Spirit-led communication. We have synthesized this process into a well-known phrase, make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ. Pa has a wonderful testimony to share with Ma along these lines.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Yeah, I got some biscuits in the oven, but I can talk for a few minutes till they need to come out.
I'm so excited, Ma. I just come from downtown.
You're excited about downtown? Did Disney come in and build a roller coaster on Main Street? Or is the bank giving out free samples of money? I ain't ever thought downtown was very exciting.
Ma, what are you talking about?
Pa, I'm just pulling your leg. You do that to me all the time. I say something, and you like to twirl my words around into something else.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I do that, don't I?
Yeah. Okay, back to your story. Something happened while you were downtown that got you excited. Tell me what it was.
Well, I imagine you know who old Alden Fleckenbaugh is?
Well, who doesn't know the most hated man in Bickers Corner? When folks see him on the sidewalk, they cross the other side of the street. The mere mention of his name makes babies cry. I hear he once stared at a rabid dog and gave it a heart attack.
That's the feller. Well, I was down at the Nuts and Bolts Auto Parts store looking for a water pump for that old tractor of ours. Feller at the counter said they don't stock something that old. but maybe I could find a salvage one at a junkyard.
Uh-oh, I know what's coming.
Yep, old Alden owns the only junkyard within decent driving distance. I got to get that tractor working, and I can't wait for a part to get shipped here, so I decided to go down to Alden's place.
Well, that took a ton of courage, Pa. You know, it's known far and wide that he hates Christians. Why, someone told me last Christmas Eve he put a manger scene out in front of his junkyard, and then he had a Santa in a sleigh with reindeer on a zip line. He lit that sleigh on fire, and he sent it crashing into the manger scene. The whole thing went up in flames, and there he was, laughing and carrying on.
Yeah, I heard that, too. He's a hard man, Ma. Why, anyone that has a mind to do good things seems to bother old Alden something fierce.
And old Clarissa Spargle said she was driving her truck downtown, and old Alden was crossing the street on a green light. She had to slam on her brakes to keep from hitting him. When she honked her horn, old Alden came over and bit a chunk right out of one of her tires. Traffic came to a standstill until she could put on her spare.
He's a hard man for sure. And I gotta tell you, Ma, I walked into his junkyard with a lot of fear nibbling at my heart.
You know, he may be a hard man, Pa, but he's got a business that deals with the public. Surely he can't be all that bad. Otherwise, nobody would come by his place to buy car parts.
Well, I got a story about my visit, Ma, and it's one of them stories where God does something unexpected.
Like keeping old Alden from biting the chunk of your head off?
Yeah, something like that. So anyway, I walked into his office, and there he was, standing behind the counter. When I come in, he looked up at me and just stared. You know, the kind of stare where the person is trying to punch a hole in you with their eyeball?
Yeah, I've seen that stare on some folks. It don't inspire conversation.
No, it don't. So I walked slowly up to the counter and asked him if he had a water pump for a 1965 Ford 3000 tractor. Well, Ma, his eyes got real narrow and squinty, and his upper lip began to curl, you know, like Clint Eastwood when he was facing down a bad guy in a movie. And I was trying to think if there was anything I said that might have bothered him, when a little kitten ran out of the back room, and it was coughing.
Coughing? You mean like kind of coughing?
It was more like a choke cough. And old Alden, well, he got really undone. He ran over, and he picked up the kitten, and he got real anxious over it. Well, he looked like he didn't know what to do, and the poor kitten was in great distress.
Oh, you know, that sounds like something that happened to our cat several years ago, where she had swallowed something that got stuck in her throat.
Yeah, I remembered that. I thought this was the same thing. Well, you remember what our vet told us to do if that ever happened.
Yeah, get some salt and make him swallow it.
Right. So I jumped over the counter and took the cat from old Alden. Ooh, the look he gave me, Ma. It would have made a charging rhinoceros turn tail and head the other way. Anyway, so I yell at him, "Give me some salt." He didn't move. So I yelled again, "Get me some salt now." Well, I was afraid he'd pinch my head off and throw it in the wastebasket. But he ran into the back and he returned with a salt shaker. So I twisted off the top, opened up the cat's mouth and poured about a half teaspoon in. Then I shut the mouth so the cat would swallow it.
All this time, what was old Alden doing?
Yeah, he was torn between concern for the cat and trying to figure out which one of my arms to tear off first. But just before he made a bad decision, the cat vomited up everything it had inside, including a rubber band that was the culprit for its distress. Then the cat came over to me and licked my hand. Well, Ma, I gotta tell you, that changed everything. Old Alden couldn't thank me enough. Why, he even gave me a hug. Who would have thought that such a hard man as Alden could have a soft spot for any living thing, much less a kitten?
Oh, I think I just heard a story of a miracle of God, didn't I?
I believe so, Ma. After the cat got to feeling better, me and Alden talked. I asked him flat out why he was so mean to folks. Yeah, his face got a little red, and I thought I might have crossed some kind of line. But then he just got honest with me. It was like he was waiting, all them years just for someone like me to come along who he could open up to?
There's folks like that, Pa. They hide their feelings because they're afraid they might get ridiculed if their real self ever got seen by others.
Well, that's old Alden's issue, Ma. He told me that he grew up in a tough home. His daddy was always drunk and his mama had to work two jobs to keep food on the table. They was always fighting, and sometimes they took out their anger on Alden. When he was 16, he ran away from home. He lied about his age to get into the army, and he was stationed in Germany when he heard from a family friend that his folks had died in a house fire.
Oh, Pa, that's terrible.
It sure is. And old Alden, he had all them unresolved issues. And he decided that he wouldn't ever open up to anyone to protect himself from hurt. You know, on the inside, in his heart, because all them years he tried to get his folks to love him, and it ended badly.
Oh, and he just emptied out his heart to you right then?
I believe he saw my heart, too, Ma. I mean, when that kitten looked like it might have died, I couldn't just do nothing. And even though I was afraid of old Alden, I was more afraid of letting that little cat die. And I think what I showed him from my heart built a bridge to his heart. And you know what? We talked for over 2 hours, just him and me. And I could see the relief in his eyes that he could get it all out.
Oh, and all the time, you didn't judge him or his history, did you, Pa?
No, I didn't. And I didn't want to. Because the pain he showed me, it's human pain, like you and me have experienced. And then I told him about Jesus and how he'd saved us from the pain of death and eternal damnation by dying on the cross for all our sins. I told him about my past before Christ and how I did some bad things, but that when I finally invited Jesus into my heart, he forgave me of all that. And he gave me a new life on top of it.
Oh, you know, Pa, what happened between you and Alden is the good and godly fruit of real communication. You know, where folks share from their heart what they truly think and what they've really gone through. And the other person just listens without judgment, just to understand what lies behind the choices that a person has made. You know, how they live their life.
Yep. And now I know where he's coming from. But you know something else? When I left his office, he wasn't the same man as when I came in. He'd changed. And anyone can see it because, you know, for the first time in his entire life, another person got to see who he really is. And he got to see a little bit about how much God loves him.
Oh, Pa, I'm real proud of you for doing that.
Well, let's just give God the glory and move on, okay? Besides, you and me need to jump in my pickup and drive down to the animal shelter.
Oh, no. Alden's cat ain't sick again, is it?
Nah. But holding that kitten, I kind of missed our old farm cat. I believe it's time to give one of them strays a new home.
Isn't that just how God works? We get into a situation where we might be scared or anxious, but God has already paved the way for the miraculous movement of his spirit. The truth is just this. We cannot really plan these moments. They are ordained by God, and when we are faithful to move into them, everyone is blessed. There's a world full of hurting people like Alden, and there's also a large body of believers like you and me. How about this? Let's trust God to take us where others need to meet him and witness the miracle of salvation lift a soul from the darkness and into his marvelous light.
Ma and Pa have come and gone, and good to hear their story. Always a good teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, we got some mail that came in. We want to read from Carolyn and Carol, and I don't know where they're from. Stuart. All right, Stuart. Just say thank you for being there. We love listening. God bless each of you. You're always in our prayers, which we greatly appreciate and definitely need those prayers. And then from Raquel, and for sure I don't know where Raquel is from, but she was telling us she likes to listen to Lamplighter Theater, which is on at 11 o'clock every weekday. And She wanted to know more about the broadcast. I think Sherry is going to be sending her that information. But she then writes, thank you for blessing South Florida with this radio station and for doing the work of the Lord during these crazy times.
Amen.
And we give God praise. We give him the glory for that, Raquel. But thank you for lifting us up. Karen, do you have anything?
Yes, I have. you know, sometimes you can say something with just one word.
True.
And, you know, we had received...
I wish I knew more people that could do that, though.
we had received in the mail a little note here from Milagros in Boca. Just a little green sticky pad that says, greetings.
Greetings. Okay.
So, you know, it's just... Thank you, Milagros, for sending that and sending your greetings to us.
And that's always appreciate the outreach from our listeners.
That's
we need
right.
to hear from you. We love to hear from
Every
you.
Little note they send in is great.
That's right.
And then also stamps and return addresses. This one has a little cute little frog and a bumblebee on it.
Okay.
Okay. And then we have a little card here to WCNO. Sowing a resurrection life seed for the prodigal sons and daughters to come back home to the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And this is from our friend Sharon, good friend of the ministry. And she had a prayer request for her son Jeremy, who was in the hospital in Jacksonville with congestive heart failure. Mm. He got put on a ventilator, and then he developed COVID. Praying for total recovery. And, you know, just as soon as you ask the Lord, he replies to you, because just the other day, he is off the ventilator, and he is, he's breathing on his own and recovering.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That's right. And then he's going to have other testings in the future. So we're just so thankful for that.
Keep Jeremy in prayer. For
Jeremy,
sure.
Yep.
Well, you'd mentioned frogs earlier, and I want to just jump to our interview with JT and Terry Lee Clark. JT, y'all there?
Yes, we are.
Praise God. I know that you're out and about, and so you're on a cell phone, and we're just going to pray the Lord will enable your signal to not break up. And I had said earlier, promoed our interview by speaking about powerful things that God has done in your life to bring you to this stage. And what I want to do is, the book that you wrote is, the title of it is In the Blink of an Eye, Forgiveness in Black and White. And we'll be talking later about how our listeners can get the book. And then the film that emerges, as I'd said, from the pages of this book. But there's something you wrote, JT, at the end of the sixth chapter in that book that I want to read to our listener. I want to read it to you, and then we'll go from there.
Fantastic.
You had written this. You said, when you stand in front of witnesses and you call out to God, here I am, send me, you'd better put on your seatbelt. In my experience, he will hear that and begin to move in your life. I had no idea what I had signed up to. I just knew that I could not live a self-centered, isolated, care only about me kind of existence anymore. So JT and Terry Lee, feel free to jump in too, but I want to know, what got you to that altar?
Yes, sir. It was a tremendous move of God in the most tragic of circumstances, where my brother and his wife were killed in a motorcycle accident. And in the aftermath of the accident that claimed their lives, God began stirring in me. Now, you have to understand that my brother and his wife were disciples of Christ. They lived to serve God, and they lived to serve his people. And they lived that out in front of me, just as my wife did. And so when they were killed, God began stirring in me. And I was witnessing one example of forgiveness after another in regard to the circumstances of this accident. And at the end of it, what got me to the altar, what brought me to the cross, was the Holy Spirit calling upon me to go to court and move in forgiveness toward the man that was involved in my brother's accident, that was involved in the accident that claimed the lives of Bobby and Pam Clark. And the Holy Spirit not only wanted me to go to the courtroom to forgive him, but wanted me to pay the fine that the judge might assess in the case. And what has come out of that has been transformative for my life.
Wow, it certainly has. This, you know, in reading the book and again in watching the movie, and I've got to say at this point that we met at the 10th Annual International Christian Film and Music Festival there in Orlando early May. In fact, you're one of the first folks we ran into, you and Terry Lee, and you had the book and then a copy of the DVD of the movie. And we sat through the actual the viewing, the sharing of that movie during our time there. And I want to tell our listeners, folks, you want something that speaks powerfully of God's moving in the life of somebody, and the results of the Holy Spirit leading someone in faith and trust. In the blink of an eye, Forgiveness in Black and White, that's the book. And My Brother's Crossing is the title of the movie. You need to get your hands on those. So, JT, tell our listeners how they can do that.
Yeah, so the best way, there are different ways, but the best way is to reach out through our website at mybrotherscrossing.org. And on our website, you can see some information about the movie. You can see the trailer and so forth. But there's also an online ordering process for that. And there's also a separate form that can be filled out. If you just want more information about our ministry or you want more information about the story, we'll be happy to share whatever we have with you as you look into this a little bit deeper.
Amen. And now, Terry Lee, you're there too, right?
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. When you were so gracious when my wife and I met you at the festival, to both of you sharing from the depth of your heart, and the one thing I heard in your testimony was a loving Christian wife who was praying for her husband when he was in what I might say is a season of spiritual confusion. Maybe that's not an appropriate phrase, but talk about that for a minute. You, God put it on your heart because you love JT and God, you love God, and God was giving you a calling for him. I believe you have a word for Christian wives today.
You know, God was calling me to JT and to be faithful, to continue to pray for him, even when he wasn't where I was in my faith walk, in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I prayed for him for 28 and a half years to get to that place.
Wow.
So it wasn't a short process. It was a long process. But God was faithful through all of it. He reminded me over and over again on my spirit, just continue to do what I'm asking you to do. Continue to pray for your husband. Continue to walk this out beside him. I will bring him to that place.
Mm.
I will heal him. He healed him from his depression and suicidal ideation.
Mm.
He had a miraculous healing in 1993 where the doctor said he was going to die. That was it.
Mm.
And as I prayed over him at the 30th hour, the doctors came in and said, "You're not going to believe it, but everything's turned around."
Wow. Praise God.
Yes. God stepped in. It was miraculous. And from there, you know, it was still another 17 years before we got placed. But I say, hang in there, wives. Hang in there. It's worth every second, every tear cried.
Amen. And the event that brought that JT, and I'm going to speak to both of you, but the event that brought you, JT, to faith was tragedy. It always makes me think of in the scriptures where it is said, you know, that the devil meant it. This is Joseph now speaking to his brothers. The devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Amen.
So,
amen. Yep.
And the fruit of that. Now, talk a bit, both of you. And now, Terry Lee, you've been married to him long enough. You know how to jump into a conversation, because God's got both of you on the air here to speak to us. But our people, and I know I really want to hear more about what, how God did that and what happened. It wasn't just you coming to Christ. There was a whole bunch of healing going on, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, right from, as C.J. Martin, the driver of the truck, says, upon impact, God began to send people to minister to him and his wife. For those that are listening and don't know anything about the story, a dynamic of this, my brother was a pastor, and the man driving the truck involved in the accident is also a pastor. My family's white. This man's family is black. The night of the wreck, my brother was at a biker church, attending a service. You know, the pastor of that church, he likes to say, we're not motorcycle enthusiasts. We're bikers, long hair, tattoo covered, leather vest wearing, Bible carrying, Jesus loving bikers. And the man that was involved in the accident was attending a football game that I was volunteering at 2 miles away from the church. And so the circumstances of how all this came to be, And the moment, I was not there when the accident happened. I had already made my way home. But the night of the wreck, you know, word traveled back to the biker church that one of their own was down. And you know, this man and his son devastated by what has happened. Mm-hmm. And this group of bikers shows up from that church because they'd heard that one of their own was down. And the pastor said, you know, we're charged with emotion, and we wanted to find out how bad it was and who was involved. And when they got there, they quickly learned that it was my brother and his wife, and they turned their attention on the driver of the truck and his son. Mm. And they wanted to get at this man and his son. Mm. The chaplain who was on the scene of the call right away, he was trying to keep the bikers away. And they basically pushed past him and said, your rules don't apply to us. And they made their way to this man and his son, and they encircled him, laid hands on him, began to pray for him, praying that 15-year-old boy would not be harmed by what he experienced, and praying that the driver of the truck would be lifted and protected from his involvement in the accident. One of the EMS workers that had come to take care of my brother, there wasn't anything he could do for my brother and his wife, but he witnessed what was taking place. And he went up to the pastor of the biker church and says, I want to know the God you serve, and accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior in the midst of all that was going on. Dave, the day my brother was killed, he wrote a letter to his son, and in that letter he said, if I could give my life for one. And there at the accident scene, an EMS worker, and it's portrayed in the movie, an EMS worker accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior in the midst of all that was going on.
Wow. And that's the heart of it, isn't it? The work of God, the Holy Spirit blessing in the midst of tragedy, where a worldly mind would say, well, we have to be angry, we have to cause pain, we have to make things worse for the person that caused the problem. Yet what God is saying is, I want to heal everybody.
You want to know what the love of Christ looks like, Dave? Let me describe this for you.
Okay.
Let me describe this for your listeners. The man preaching at that biker church, Mike Price is his name, he was at a tent revival 20 years prior that my brother was preaching at. That's when he came to the Lord.
Wow.
And he came up in ministry with my brother. And so the night of the accident, he's there loving on my brother. He's preaching the word of God to my brother. He's worshiping with my brother. He's in fellowship with my brother. And moments after my brother leaves his church, my brother is called home. Moments after this man was loving on my brother, he found himself at the scene of the accident loving on the man involved in the accident that claimed his life. Dave, that's the love of Christ.
That is the love of Christ. And the world doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
World, but
yep, in the natural, right? I mean, in the natural, we want to get even. We want to be angry. We want to settle the score. That's in the natural.
Yeah.
But when God is in the midst, and when we allow God to work, when we allow God to have his way, and that's what happened in the transformation of my life, I was humbled to a place where I was unctioned, if you will, to go to court, to show up at that courtroom. And in the process of making my way to the courtroom, I heard on my spirit, I need you to pay the fine. I could not believe what I was experiencing. And the only reason I understood it is because my brother had shared his faith with me. My wife had lived out her faith in front of me, and they had shared experiences of hearing things on their spirit that I just did not get till that point. And now I'd had this encounter, and what was I going to do about it? And I ended up in the courtroom, and I was unctioned to talk to the state trooper who investigated the accident, and that resulted in remarks made to the judge of what I was there to do. Wow. And nothing's been the same in my life since.
It the great and rich favor of God had fallen on that court event, it sounds to me.
Yes, sir. After things played out, a woman was sitting on the front row, and she stood up and she cried out, "I've just witnessed a miracle."
Mm.
And, you know, there were probably 24 people in that courtroom when all of that played out, including a local reporter for the local newspaper. And because that individual was there, things began to spill out from the courtroom. In terms of telling what had transpired. And, you know, people ask me, well, what's my relationship with this man like these days? I'm now ordained as a minister in his church. He's now our pastor.
How cool is that? How that is so God, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Well, you know.
Yeah, he's.
Sorry, go ahead, JT.
No, that I'm just the fact that he's now our pastor. You know, we're in each other's lives. I've spoken with his wife this morning.
Yeah.
This is, you know, it's a organic, rich, deep relationship that we have between our families.
Amen. Well, I got to tell you that, and you well know because you witnessed my reaction to the film while we were watching it. And, you know, I almost had to hang fluids, you know, IV fluids, because I was just so caught up in the spirit in that and the power of God. And also one of the reasons why I know the Lord wanted us to connect and why I wanted you to come on air today and for our listeners to hear your testimony has a lot to do with, in my own experience, now I've been ordained for 37 years, I've been a Christian for 46. And I don't believe I've ever been enabled to witness, to hear such a profound testimony of the power of forgiveness as I have heard in the story that you and Terry Lee tell in the book and in the movie. And I want people, I believe God wants me to want people who are listening to know that. And to get a hold of these resources now, and you can witness to the fact that we don't get anything out of this except the joy of the Lord, knowing that people are getting blessed, right? We're not splitting profits here, right?
Amen. Amen.
You know, but because I want, God wants people to hear this story. Now, are there other like stories? I'm sure there are. But I've never had a story come into my experience, touch my heart the way this did. And that's why we're here today, I believe, to be faithful to the Lord, all of us. And so I would like you to tell people, give them your website again, please.
Sure. So our website is mybrotherscrossing.org. You know, we talk about the screening of the movie, Dave, there at the film festival, and we were sitting the row behind you at the opposite end. And because you and I and our wives had just had a conversation before the screening started, I was watching your reaction to the film as the film unfolded in front of you. I tell people, you don't watch this movie, you experience it.
Amen.
And you had an experience in watching this film and seeing what played out come to life in front of you. And it was just powerful for me to have the experience of watching you experience what we lived through, because 90% of what's in the film accurately portrays the real events. This has not been dramatized. It's not been fabricated. It was filmed on the same stretch of roadway where the accident happened, the same courtroom where the case was heard, the same funeral home, the same churches. as authentically as we could tell the story. And so we're seeing a manifestation of the Spirit in people that have experienced. I remember getting my first invitation to speak at a church. And this came just 3 weeks after I attended church for the first time myself. So that day in the courtroom, CJ invites me to his church. I showed up, and 3 weeks later, I'm standing in the pulpit of another church. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world am I going to tell people in church about forgiveness? They've got this figured out. That was my mindset. Obviously, it was erroneous. I've discovered that, that people in church walk in with the same hurts and hang-ups that they walk out with.
Amen.
Instead of allowing that to be dealt with there in their time in service at the altar or in conversation with the pastor or whatever the circumstance may be, so many of us are just hanging on to the hurt and the pain and the hang-up. And we have seen the film and we've seen the book used in a powerful way to help deliver people from that. And you know, one of the things you talk about, the profits, okay? So we use the proceeds of whatever we get from the book to help us in our ministry work.
Amen.
But we don't want money to be a barrier to anybody getting a copy. And so we've given away 60 to 70% of all of our inventory that we've ever had. And we don't ask, here, look, if you don't have the money, you don't want to give us the money, whatever it is, we'll give you a copy. And hopes that it will touch you in a special way. And our only request out of that is that you pass the book along to somebody else that it might touch somebody else.
Amen.
Because as you said, Dave, the calling on our life, the calling in this to help people get a breakthrough with forgiveness, to help people get a breakthrough with reconciliation and healing, the unity of the church, obedience. You know, what is forgiveness at its core? It's obedience. And so helping people to become more obedient in their walk with Christ, all of that is kind of what we're driving at here. This is what God has called us to do.
Amen. And I know for a fact that you and Terry Lee are walking in faith. This fact, you don't have a regular job anymore where you get a regular paycheck, you have benefits. You and Terry Lee have given your lives to Christ. And this is work.
Yep. 3 years ago, he called us out of our workplace, no paycheck, no benefits. This month, the month of June, we now have the money to pay our health insurance premium, which is close to $1,500 for the month. Mm. We do not have the money to pay our mortgage this month, but we believe that in the next 9 days, God is going to move in a circumstance, in a situation, and we're going to be provided for. We just believe it because he's done it so many times. It almost doesn't take very much faith to believe it because we've seen it so much. Mm-hmm. And faith is those things we don't get to see. And it's just been miraculous watching all of this play out.
Amen. I love what Paul says, the hope that is seen is not hope. You know,
amen.
If you can see amen. It all the time, it's something else, you know.
Amen.
And when I talk about walking in faith, I'm not talking about someone that's looking for a parking space and praying and asking God to give it to them. I'm talking about, you know, that every dollar comes from the grace of God.
Yes.
And Terry Lee, let me, on this point, because I know having, and I've been married now for so many years, I can't remember how many, no, 51 years. And I've journeyed, my wife and I have been Christians together for 46, 47 of that. And she has come to the point of really trusting God for everything. But I know, and I'd like you to speak to Christian wives right now about the faith journey, because I know some folk, they're believers, and yet it's almost terrifying to think about the kind of faith walk that you're in, but God's going to call some of those wives, husbands to do that. How's that working? Tell me about that.
What I can tell you is, it took those first 28 years of deep faith that my husband was going to come home every day and I wasn't going to get the call that he had committed suicide.
Mm.
So my faith was strengthened so much through those years because I had lost my first husband to a tragic accident and was the first paramedic on the scene of that accident.
Oh. Wow.
So I had gone through that and I had my faith. And God continued to deepen my faith. And when God called JT and I into full-time ministry, no jobs, no benefits, trusting on him, I'm not going to say it's been easy. It hasn't. But we've just had to cling to his promises. Just hang on, cling to his promises. He's going to provide. If you are walking in his will and doing what he is asking of you to do, to be his willing vessels, he's going to provide for the provisions you need. He's going to give you them. I just know it. I trust it. If this had been 35 years ago, my anxiety level would probably be hitting through the roof right now, knowing 9 days and we have to make a mortgage payment.
I hear you.
How are we going to put groceries on the table, gas in the car? But God's going to put gas in the car if he has some place he wants us to go to minister, to bring people to a relationship.
Amen.
To give them eternal life. He's going to continue to provide for us. I have to trust and believe in that. And I say just continue to trust, continue to read his word.
Amen.
It's truth.
And part of what we're doing today in the hearts of our listeners is not just encouraging them to have to let God grow them up in the same kind of faith, but maybe to prayerfully say, well, how can I help JT and Terry Lee in doing their ministry? And the answer to that is, if God's put it on your heart to do a financial gift, go to their website, which is mybrotherscrossing.org. And there's a place to donate on the website, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's right. There is. And we appreciate the support that we do get. We appreciate the prayers that are spoken on our behalf. We appreciate the notes of encouragement when somebody's read the book or seen the movie and just wants to talk about how it touched them. That helps us continue on what we've been called to do. It's all very humbling to realize the impact. Just in the last month, I would say that we've heard from at least 20 people that have come to a relationship with Christ because of some aspect of the ministry God gave us, the book, the story of it all. And my brother wrote the day he was killed, if I could give my life for one.
Yeah.
Well, God's math is not our math, Dave.
I know. I know. It's God just loves to keep multiplying, you know. And
that's right.
He does a better job of that than the tax people. you know. But
well, you know, the other thing is our social media. We're not big into social media, but we do have a Facebook page, and it's My Brother's Crossing.
Okay.
And we just love to hear from and connect with people that and we have ties to South Florida. We lived down there from 2003 to 2007.
Okay.
Got tired of dodging hurricanes and decided to come back to Virginia. But in any case, just wanted to connect with the listeners that way as well.
That is cool. And, you know, we're almost out of time, so I want to ask you to offer a prayer for South Florida. And but to expand that, because there's so many hungry souls for Christ, and to pray for salvation and the movement of the Spirit. And I also want to tell you that you're going to be back on the air with us. I don't know when, but there's more to talk about. And so be prepared to get a call from me or an email and say,
yes,
we need you to share Christ again with our listeners, because you can never get enough of these powerful stories. JT, would you pray, please?
Absolutely. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come boldly to your throne of grace and mercy in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father God. And we ask for a touch upon those that are listening to this program. We ask for a touch upon those that live in the South Florida community, Father God. We just ask that you continue to bring about revival amongst your church, Father God, that just one more might come to know you because of one of us that are shining the light on your kingdom and being evidence of your love, light, truth, and your encouragement in our lives, Father God. And so we just look forward to all that you're going to do. Father, we just ask that we continue to be willing vessels that we step out of our comfort zone to do what you called us to do, to be that light in the lives of those that do not know you, and to also encourage and strengthen those that are on this faith walk to become better and deeper disciples of Jesus Christ, that we pick up our cross daily, that we deny ourselves, we